Waiting for Jeb to record a podcast. Waiting for Jeb to record a podcast. He'll be here soon. I wonder where he is. He's just joined the call. Hello, Jeb.
Oh, I'm Y Quackham. Oh, wait, I've done this bit, haven't I?
This feels familiar.
Oh, okay.
Hello there, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Football Manager Therapy. I am your host, Rich Owens, and joining me this week, it's my close personal friend from the internet and also reality. It's Jebaroo. Good morning, Jeb. How you doing, pal?
If I turn this way, you can't really hear me. Hi, how are you? Good to hear you. Good to see you as well. It's been a while, in the words of Fred Durst's mate. Stained. I can't remember what his name was. Has it been a while? I don't even know anymore. I think I did an episode with Kev when you weren't here.
Mm.
And then you did an episode. Oh, yes. It's 2 weeks since I've been on the podcast.
It's been 2 weeks.
It's been a long, long 2 weeks. But yes, I was away at the Pool World Championships last week. Ooh, it was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. I was happy to be back on. I've had a reasonably entertaining week with lots of travels up and down the country. Well, one travel up and down the country, but there we are. It was worth it, though. And I'm happy to be back on the pod. How are you, Rich?
I'm good, thank you, mate. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's lovely to have you back. Time is an abstract concept, though, isn't it? It's been 2 weeks. Has it been a month? Is it still January? None of us know. No, but it's really, really hard to tell.
It's March.
It's March now. Okay, it's good to know. No, yeah, it's good. I'm good. I say it's lovely to have you back. It's I'm just working. I feel like I'm just working my right way around the team now. Like just being Kev last week, and then you this week. And hey, who knows? Next week, maybe it'll be me and Cal. It's hard to say. It's really, really hard to say. Words are really, really tricky. But I'm looking forward to this week. We've got some fun things on the docket to have a little chat about, which is always nice. But it's good to have you back. Also, I'd like to point out, I'll say this publicly. I will just say this publicly before we begin. Obviously, Jeb was away doing some work at the Pool Mini Snooker, as it's known in the, it's not known as that in the industry. Yeah, nobody's ever called it that before, and I doubt they ever will.
Probably not.
They won't read my letters. Jeb's been doing some commentary on it. Jeb has been sending us some links to his wonderful commentary, and I've got to say, absolutely superb, really, 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 really strong. How was that for you?
It was quite easy. The Master of Ceremonies bit was unexpected, which I didn't expect to be doing. So, shout out to Matthew Taylor Richards, formerly of this parish. I embraced my inner mat and tried my hardest to bring out everyone. But yeah, commentary was one of those. I just heard one of the young pros struggling a little, so I thought I'd jump into there. And I just, before we started, muted up and went, I'm just going to bounce off you. I've been watching it for 2 years. I kind of figured out what's going on, but I'm just pretty much going to ask you every single time, what would you do in this situation? Just keep going on that and going off that riff. But then, even then, it was just quite fun. I mean, everyone's heard my voice on the FM Playoffs on the host, and that is commentary. You just need a person just to describe what's going on, or what's happening at the table. Yeah, I was the person describing what's going on to a point. I don't know. Like, there was a couple of times where I was going, I'll never make that shot. And then he makes it. I was like, cool. Yeah. I forgot you can put spin on the balls. I've never done that before in my life. But there we are.
You can't just put spin on the ball down the pub. That's witchcraft if you're doing that. So it's when you're watching the pros, though. Yeah. No, it was brilliant. It was ever so good. I was absolutely made up for you. I thought you sounded great. So,
oh, thank you.
Well done, I think. Is that what people say in these situations?
Maybe. Oh, no.
Maybe.
Why are we getting a high pitch?
I don't know. Okay. It's just what we do. Okay. I'm back down. Back down to earth.
I'm back down.
Okay. Come back down. But it was cracking. So, hey, more of that kind of thing. Please and thank you. We have got a bit of a full dance card today because things have happened in reality. Things have happened in Football Manager. And I thought, you know, given the nature of the podcast and, you know, our MO, we should probably talk about them. Feels like the right thing to do. We're going to start with a little bit of a save update. And it's my turn. I think we established before we went live, it's my turn to do one. Because I haven't done one for ages and ages and ages and ages and ages. So I'm going to try and very briefly recap about 18 months worth of football. And I'm going to do it as quickly as I possibly can. So my save, if you don't know, if you've not heard this before, if you've not ever watched a stream, my save is called What's the Story Former Glory. I'm going around the world trying to restore the reputations of formerly very, very good football clubs that might have fallen on harder times.
Wait, wait, wait. Can we recreate the theme tune to that save? So if I do that, I do the singing bit and you just do the bit you do. Yeah?
Okay, yeah.
Well, what's the story?
Former.
Glory. There you go. Done.
That's what it sounds like. That's exactly what it sounds like. It's really, really good. I'm in season 5 of the save. I'm at Ajax. Last time we talked about this, I just started season 4. So Ajax, the season before I arrived, had lost out on the Eredivisie title on goal difference on the last day, which I thought was hilarious. Sacked their manager, brought me in for reasons, and we set about trying to fix it. I'm playing my variation of kind of that classic, you know, 70s Dutch total football. It's very, very attacking. It's a little bit silly. It's a three-back formation that actually only has three defenders. Because you see people talk about it like that. I'm using a three-back formation. Yeah, but you're also using wing-backs, so technically it's 5. So I've only got 3 defenders on the pitch. Season 1, we started terribly. We started really, really badly. We were dropping points all over the place. I think we were just a couple of points above the relegation zone after the opening 5 or 6 fixtures. It wasn't looking good. The players weren't taking to my total rich ball particularly well. And I was very confused as to why. But then I thought to myself, what would Nick Madden tell me to do in this situation? Because the formation didn't feel like it was working. Tactically, it didn't feel like it was working. Obviously, we had the man who created the match engine on the podcast a little while ago. And he was all about, he said, it's all about the subtle changes. It's not about completely reinventing the tactic and the formation. It's about subtle little changes. Maybe change a role here or there and see what happens. So that is exactly what I did. I was using 2 wide centre-backs on either side of the three-man defence, and I found they were just leaving massive gaps every time they were pushing forward. So I changed those back to ball-playing defenders, and that just seemed to tighten up the defence instantly because, you know, they're still moving the ball around, they're still starting attacks off, but they're just not bombing up the byline to do it. So that kind of firmed up the defence. I had a midfield triangle, so I'd like the defensive midfielder, then 2 ahead of them. I think originally I was using like a deep line playmaker on defend. That wasn't working. That was stinky. So we changed him to a good old-fashioned ball-winning midfielder. And then I had a Carrillo and a roaming playmaker, which sounds very, very exciting, doesn't it?
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the first person to use a Carrillo like in the history? I think I am. Yeah.
And I might well be the last as well because they were rubbish. They just didn't do anything. They were just poop. Really, they were honestly. They might as well have not been on the pitch. Just nothing was happening. So I thought I'll go big and I'll go bold. And I've now found my favourite central midfield partnership in terms of roles, most effective one I've used so far this year. And I'm going to blow everyone's minds with this. I've got a central midfielder on support next to a centre mid on attack.
Calm down.
Just works really well. I won't.
No. Okay. Yeah. No, that's too far.
Isn't it too far? It's you can take your double Mazzalas and you can stick them. I've got a CM on support and a CM on attack. Seems to work really well.
Why do a CM on support when you can do a box to box midfielder and a CM on attack? That's a combination, isn't it? It feels like it should be,
but a CM on support just seems to do the same kind of things, but ever so slightly better, because I don't want them coming back quite as deep as a box-to-box midfielder. And, you know, I don't want him getting quite as far forward. So, you know, I've put restrictions on him. It's like basically my CM on support. It's the equivalent of when you see like a tradie in a van on the back of it. It says, soz, this van can only go up to 58 miles an hour. That's kind of what I've done to my central midfielder on support. He's only allowed to go kind of so far. But again, it works really, really well. I had two wingers on attack either side, and that's what I kept those because they just run very, very fast down the side of the pitch and then just fire in the crosses. And then I had an advanced forward who I've kept. And then previously, my second striker was like a shadow striker, so playing behind the other one. And again, just wasn't working. Like, there was just very, very few goal contributions, just went missing during the games, averaging like, you know, 6-3s and 6-4s every game. They were just running, but they weren't doing anything. So I've pushed them up and I've turned him into a false nine next to the advanced forward. And just suddenly it just clicked and it just started working and started scoring loads of goals. Switching between that and a complete forward, and that just seemed to work really, really well. And as soon as we did that, form turned around. We started picking up wins. We're winning games like nobody's business. We went on a bit of a tear, if I'm honest with you. So we changed the formation and changed the system. And we did that in the kind of the late part of September. Sorry, late September, early October. That really, really kicked in. And we started picking up wins. We were also in the Europa League. And again, we started really slowly in the Europa League. But that then the change of formation, change system really, really helped. Started picking up a bit of momentum. In terms of our wins and losses, I lost a game in the Eredivisie on the 29th of November. I lost to Heerenveen 2-1 away from home. I didn't lose again in the Eredivisie until the 2nd of May.
Nice.
Everything just worked. It was absolutely brilliant. The Europa League was going the same way. We were picking up results against teams that you would expect us to not pick up results against. And then we were struggling against the teams that you would expect us to beat comfortably. Like, you know, we took Celta de Vigo apart, like 3-1. But then we lost 4-3 to AEK, which made no sense whatsoever. It was up and down in terms of the Europa, but the league, we were just consistently winning and winning and winning and winning. PSV were the reigning league champions the season before. They won it on the last day on goal difference. They were, I think it's just any team in Football Manager that has PS at the start of their name. So PSV, PSG, they just win games. They just keep on winning and they keep on winning and they keep on winning. I went on that incredible run. So I didn't lose in the league for 6 months. And at the end of that 6 months, I was only, I think, 2 points ahead of PSV. Because that's just how consistent they were. They just kept winning and kept winning and kept winning. They'd draw the occasional game here and there, but then they just kept pace with us the entirety of the way through the season. At the start of it, it was Feyenoord. Feyenoord were very, very good, but then they started to drop off a little bit. We stayed consistently good for 6 months. Everything was going brilliantly. Coming into the final part of the season, we were thinking, actually, there is a chance. There's definitely a chance that we can carry on matching PSV's results and we could win the Eredivisie. It was starting to look a little bit good. But the problem that we had is that we were victims of our own success in the long run, because our Europa League campaign, we played Karabag in the last game of the group phase. And we needed to win to automatically qualify. We needed to win to scrape eighth. And in the 90th minute, we were 3-0 up and we were sat in ninth in the table because there was a team above us somebody was winning. I forget who it was. It doesn't really matter at this point, but there was a team that were above us. I think it was Ludogorets. They were in eighth. They'd had an absolutely fantastic campaign. They were sat in eighth. And then they conceded a 95th minute equaliser. So I didn't even see it. I didn't see the table change. So it blew full time at our end and we looked like we were in ninth. And then I moved all the way through and then get the news article that says, hey, you've made it automatically. You've made it to the first round. You don't have to go through the knockouts because of this late goal. Everyone was very, very happy. The Europa League carried on going really, really well. We beat Fiorentina really comfortably in the round of 16. We beat Braga fairly comfortably in the quarterfinals, and then we got to the semis. We had to play Newcastle, in the Europa League semi-finals. Now, Newcastle, if you've never played Football Manager before, are quite good because they just have infinite money. And they were the only team that realistically on paper looked like they were... If they hadn't been in there, I would have said Ajax are going to win the Europa League really, really easily. Yes, Jeb, a question from you.
I think this is where I tuned in.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, 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 it is. So we had Newcastle to play. And at the same time, in a save like this, where the objective is for me to try and win trophies and do very well, very, very well, in not necessarily in... It basically a finite amount of time. You know, it's not like a one club save where like you've got time to build and then challenge for things. I'm at Ajax for a finite number of seasons. I'm not going to have the opportunity to win that many European competitions while I'm in it. You know, ideally I'm going to be in the Champions League every year because I'm going to be finishing top two. So it was a really, really tough one. I'm like, right, do we throw it all into the Europa League or do we just put the kids out, put the second string out against Newcastle twice and then try and keep the first team fit for the league. And I got talked into giving it a go against Newcastle. So we played them in the first leg at home. So we had them at home in the first leg and we won 1-0 in quite a comprehensive looking game of football. So that was very, very exciting. But in order to do that, we'd had to play reserves in the games beforehand because essentially when you get to that stage of the season, it's like you're playing a championship schedule. It's Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday. So you have to rotate. Because of those rotations, I played the reserves the game before against Heerenveen and I drew 0-0. And then the fixture after, all of my first team were absolutely knackered and I had Feyenoord. And I lost 1-0 to Feyenoord. And because of that loss, PSV pulled back a little bit of distance on me in the league, which I wasn't overly enamoured with. I then had to go to St James's in the second leg of the Europa League, like 3 days later. And I was like, you know what? Based on the performance in the first leg, I think we could do something here. We've got a one-goal lead. I think the potential is there for us to do a bit of damage. I was wrong. As it turns out, I was enormously wrong. We lost 8-4 on the night. Got absolutely turned over by them. And it was... Everybody was just awful. Actually, I say everybody. It finished 8-4. So we scored 4 goals, which is, you know, nothing short of incredible. But everybody, the midfield, the defence and the keeper, were all completely woeful. And I know that it was lots of tired legs. I know it was the end of the season. But everything about that game just stunk. There was a period where I think they scored 4 goals in the space of 3 or 4 in-game minutes. It was just absolutely horrible. And they were calamity goals as well. It's not even like they scored wonder goals against me, just the defence were awful, the keeper were awful, and we just gave them these ridiculous chances that they converted. And it was head in hands. And that, unfortunately, was a morale killer. Like, the entire squad's morale dropped after that. And it put pressure on us going into the last two games. Going into the last two games of the season, we had a 3-point lead. Oh, sorry, we had a 2-point lead on PSV. All we needed to do were match their results in the last two fixtures to win the Eredivisie. That's all we had to do. Penultimate game of the season, we played Vitesse. And we beat them 3-1. Like, good. PSV also won. Going into the last day, we have a 2-point lead, and all we need to do is beat Heracles Almelo, who, for context, we beat 7-0 earlier in the season at home. You're thinking to yourself, this sounds good. This sounds like we're going to do a good thing, doesn't it? It sounds like this is going to be a positive development.
You've got this.
I've absolutely got this. We're lifting the Eredivisie. Everyone's going to be happy. But there's always that doubt in the back of your mind, isn't there? That 8-4 loss is looming, and it's still looming over some of the players. And we go against Heracles, and they scored an early goal. We then just went all-out attack. They scored just before the half-hour mark. For the next hour, we just played all-out attacking football. And before they scored, we'd barely created anything. You know, they scored with their second shot of the game. We'd only had 2 before that as well. We then created 18 chances in the next hour. We scored 1 of them.
Oh, that's good.
So we drew. And PSV, who hadn't started particularly brilliantly that fixture, then just got news over the wirelesses in the stands. They're like, oh, Ajax are drawing. Oh, okay, well, we'll start trying then. We'll start trying. And they just scored a flurry of late goals, and then I lost the title on the last day of the season. And I wasn't particularly happy about it. What some people might describe as a small existential crisis at the end of a stream. I was genuinely miserable.
Never heard of it.
I was miserable. No, you would never do that. And who would? Who would? Who would bottle a title on the last day of the season? I was very, very, very upset. Shockingly enough, I was quite cross. The board offered me a new deal quite soon after the end of the season, which I thought was very, very lovely of them, because they clearly thought I was the man for the job in the long run. We did finish second, though, so we got Champions League for the next season. And then we've gone again. We've gone again, Jeb. So we're trying again. So we're now in season 5 after finishing second in season 1 with Ajax. We're now in the second season at the club. We had a really, really good transfer window. You, as it turns out, Jeb, have been my inspiration for Ajax.
Yeah, I've heard this. You've just basically copied my team from Wolves in the network.
I've copied your Wolves team. Yeah. I mean, so I've got Sitalo, who, in fairness, is actually there in real life and was already there at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. So Sitalo's come in. I had Araujo in season 1. I signed him from Benfica for about £10 million. He started really, really slowly, but then I managed to get a song out of him, and he finished the season on 25 goals in all competitions, which I think is not a bad return for the better part of £10 million.
Mm-hmm.
After that season, Manchester United came in instantly and bid £25 million for him. And he came to me and said, I'd really like to go to Manchester United now, please and thank you. And then because he was already a very influential player of the team, the rest of the squad turned up and like, hey, Gaffer, you're going to let Araujo go, aren't you? You're going to do that. So I went, okay, fine. So he left.
I would have said no.
You would have said no, because you are...
Just hitting, you know, his passport in the... Oh, I found it. We've got a Europa League game. I found it.
Oh, what are the chances? It was in the crisps.
Just give me it back. I just need to check it after the game when we get back.
Yeah, yeah. Nice one. Cheers. Yeah, yeah. I'm the passport inspector. Yeah. So I wish I had kept him, because he then could have played alongside another one of your Wolves players in Oscar Glauch.
Oh, Glauch.
Who came in. Oh, Glauchy.
Glauch. Yeah.
Glauch, lad. He came in on a free. From Salzburg, which was very, very exciting. I've got Fabio Carvalho as well. He's there. They are obviously, you know, if I'd kept Araujo and then bought in Glauch, they would have been playing ahead of another one of your players in Fabian Rieder in my midfield. He's been dead good. He stuck around. And obviously I've got Sitalo as well. It's just nice. Very Jeb Wolves heavy. But it's been good. Curtis Jones, no, sorry, he doesn't seem to be in the database, weirdly. I've definitely checked, he doesn't seem to be there. So we bought in all these free players. We bought in Osman, who's a very, very quick winger. He bought him in from Norseland in in Denmark. He's been great. We've bought in all these really, really solid players on frees. Managed to balance the books, so we're profitable again. And I'm thinking, okay, well, this is nice. We're now operating what I'm going to refer to as one in, one out system. It's like a nightclub in the 90s. You know, when one person leaves, they'll let one more person in. And we then got a couple of bids pre-season for two of our most popular players. So Taylor Harwood-Bellis, or Taylor Hardwood-Floor, as he was very affectionately known.
I took a picture of him for you, because he's at Southampton. He was playing against Liverpool the other night. I took a picture of his back for you. Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Send it. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, he's dead to me now. He's left. Oh, he's gone to Leipzig. But they came in for him. But we found a wonderful new gen from Belgium at the Anderlecht Academy called Gert Dam, when he scores goals. So he came in for less money than a smaller fee than I managed to get for... Hardwood Floor, so I felt very, very smug about that. But then I got really upset, because the hero of the save, Svet Mansverk, the very large Scandinavian centre mid,
mm-hmm.
very, very good in previous FMs. Excuse me, he's at Ajax in real life as well, and he was the linchpin of my midfield all season long. We had high hopes for Mansverk, or Ocean Mansverk, as he was affectionately referred to. Napoli came in for him very, very late in the transfer window, and I managed to get the better part of £60 million for him. Again, it was another Araujo situation where he was like, boss, I want to go. And then the entire club were like, you're going to let him go, aren't you? You're not going to keep him here against his will. So I felt like I had to say yes. Couldn't hide his passport. He keeps his own. His mum looks after it for him. She's a very astute lady. He went to Napoli, and then I was like, there's now a gaping hole in my midfield. So I went back to one of my old clubs, which is, you know, kind of a thing that I like to do if and when possible. And I signed the Slovenian wonder kid, Luka Toplovic, who I originally bought to San Etienne for £1.9 million. He was good. So I gave San Etienne £65 million for him because that's what they wanted and they wouldn't accept a penny less. So I got gouged by my old club, but he's just fitted into that midfield beautifully. Lovely. He just does everything I wanted him to do. And we just went again. We're like, right, let's go again. We try this again. And very, very similarly to last time, I went on a bit of a tear at the start of the season. I didn't lose my first competitive game until November. So that includes Champions League qualifiers. We beat Rennes and we beat Besiktas to qualify for the Champions League proper. We beat Salzburg. We beat Shakhtar. We beat Inter in the Champions League. Like all before losing a game. We've been absolutely smashing it. We've just been winning games in the league as well. That's all been going fantastically. We're now halfway through the season, on top of the Eredivisie. Feyenoord are second. I have got a 12-point lead on them. Nice. So I'm feeling good about this one. I think I'm going to win some trophies at Ajax this year. I'm into the third round of the Dutch Cup. I've got one Champions League group stage qualifying game left against Barcelona. I'm currently sat ninth in the table, so hopefully there's going to be a repeat of last season's magic on the last day, although I'm not necessarily confident about beating Barcelona because they are, as it turns out, quite good. It's been said. So it's going brilliantly now, and I'm in love with the save. I'm absolutely in love with it. I didn't stream it for 2 weeks just because life was a bit hectic. Kevin and I briefly mentioned this last week. 2 weeks of save I missed out on. And then at the time of recording, I've done two streams in the last 48 hours on it. So that's been cool. So you would think to yourself, well, Rich, you're going to be going big on this and you're going to be flying through, finishing the season with Ajax, and then making a decision on where you go next. That would be the logical approach now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course.
You would imagine. Yes. Yeah. So that's not what I'm going to do. Okay. As it turns out, that's not what I'm doing. Because at the time of recording, Mad Scientist Retro Database is out publicly tomorrow, Monday the 4th of March. And I'm throwing myself headfirst into that for next month because Mad Scientist Retro Databases are my favourite thing in the world. I absolutely love them. And we're going to be going retro for a little bit.
Is it 0708? I am correct, aren't I?
You are correct, yes. It's 0708.
No, I couldn't.
Could you?
Because I do double pain on it. I might do.
Yeah.
I think Morecambe got promoted that season from the National League, got to League Two. Do I go all the way back to 2007, 2008 and go, no, I don't think I'd do that. Maybe. I might have a look around at what's around there. I think, actually, like, my thoughts are maybe Championship teams, maybe one of the Sheffield teams. I actually was working at Sheffield United in those seasons, so I remember some of the players such as James Beattie and others. I don't know if he'd left by them. It's like a one-season wonder. Let's see. Some possibilities. What are your thoughts, really? What are you going to do?
Oh, you see, I'm torn. I'm torn at the moment between a couple of clubs because on the one hand, you've got that ridiculous 2007-08 Barcelona team where it was Ronaldinho's last season there and they just bought Thierry Henry.
Oh, yes.
So if you really wanted to, you could play a front four of Ronaldinho, Henry, Samuel Eto'o, and Lionel Messi. And if that sentence hasn't just made you get a little bit excited, then you are dead inside. You are completely dead inside. Obviously, you've got Xavi and Iniesta behind them. They'd just brought in like a really young, dominant Yaya Toure. Like it's like Abidal. You've got Carlos Puyol. It's just that classic Barcelona team. And it's just too good. It's too good to turn down. But then there's loads of other exciting ones. Like you could do Arsenal. Like Arsenal have got a really, really fun team. Hadn't won anything for a few seasons at that point. And given the fact that I want to kind of carry on the narrative of this save into the retros bit as well. Like there's loads and loads of really, really good clubs.
Can I read you the Liverpool squad from that season?
Please do. Please do.
It's brilliant. I forgot mm-hmm. how stupidly brilliant it was, but then also just the surprise names that you have in there. So we'll go in number order. Number three, mm-hmm. Steve Finnan. Number yes. four, Sammy Hippier. Number five, Daniel Agger. Number six, John Arnarisa. Number seven, he's still there, Harry Kewell. Number
yes. eight,
Gerrard. Number nine, Fernando Torres. I think that was his first season. Number mm-hmm. 10, Triple H. Sorry, Andriy Voronin. Number 11, Yossi Benayoun. 12, Fabio Aurelio. 14, Xabi Alonso. 15, to go alongside Fernando Torres, Peter Crouch. And number 16, yes. your friend and mine, Jermaine Pennant. He's your friend. And then you've got people like Coit, Babel, Mascherano locking around there. You've even got the current Endo player. Like he's a bit like Endo in that season. Jay Spearing. He's not. Endo's much better. But yeah. Like Liverpool didn't win more. I think this was the one that got to the final and then they signed Torres. So they got to the Champions League final the season before and signed Torres just to boost the team a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. But that midfield of Gerrard, Mascherano and Alonso was a free.
Just under passing instructions. Yes. Just do whatever you want, lads. Yeah, just do exactly. whatever you want.
Mascherano, you're a ball-winning midfielder here. Let's see if that works. Oh yes, it does. There you go. It's fine.
weirdly enough, it works really, really well.
Yeah.
It's just so good. Like, and this is one of the reasons I'm looking at like an Arsenal, because again, like this Arsenal team, just so many just wonderful, wonderful players in it. Like you've got a young Robin van Persie, you've got Eduardo who just arrived, Thomas Rosicky, like Cesc Fabregas. And then you've obviously still got a young 3-0 Walcott, haven't you? And then just all that balanced out with the likes of Emmanuel Abue and Nicholas Bentner. Like, oh, Kolo Touré's there. Like, Bakary Sagna's just signed. Like, oh, there's just so many great players. Emmanuel Adebayor is still there. Like,
I got confused as well.
Okay, it's easily done.
I thought this was like the season where Martin O'Neill was at Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. Might have been. Let me just have a look. Yeah, he was. He was manager, man. But he'd obviously got rid of all the good players. Because, oh yeah, this is when they had some all right players that are quite exciting. So they've got Melberg, they've got Lawson, they've got Gareth Barry, they've got Ashley Young. Mm-hmm. They've also got Luke Moore, Marlon Harewood, and Gabby Abonlahor. I think this is like Abonlahor's like breakout season, so he will have 20 pace and 20 acceleration, just mm-hmm. two finishing. Also got Patrick Berger and Scott Carson on loan, so Stylian Petrov. Actually, yeah, Villa could be a tasty one.
There's pretty much every team. Like if you go top flight, if you go Premier League, for example, there are very few Premier League clubs that season where you're going to read down a list and go, oh, but they were actually really good. I mean, okay, maybe Derby County, but everybody else, you've got this.
Well, that's your challenge, isn't it? That's it. That's your
challenge. There you go. If you're looking for a short-term challenge, Derby County in the Mad Scientist database, can you keep them up? And even if you can't keep them up, can you beat their record from that season in real life? Was it 11 points?
I think so, yeah. One win, wasn't yeah. it? One win
yeah.
against Newcastle,
yeah. So that was... but there are so many fun teams in that database. So, so many fun teams. You could, like, you've got, like, that the Inter team of that era was just phenomenal. Like, so many fun clubs. So, spoilt for choice. So that's what I'm going to be doing for the next month, just retro content. And it's the thing I love about these databases is that we've had it before. We've said time and time again, people can just sit there and name old footballers and just go, oh, great. You can just name old sports people. It's just old enough that there's a generation of people that play Football Manager that, you know, are old enough now for, you know, the mid-2000s to be their like formative footballing years. So they're going to be going, oh yeah, oh, I remember watching, you know, Robin van Persie and that Arsenal team when I was like 7 or 8. They're like, oh, do you? That must have been fun for you. That must have been lovely for you. But then there's also going to be players, there's all people that play the game. They're like, oh yeah, it feels like it wasn't that long ago. Like, again, to me, it doesn't feel like 2007 was that long ago. But as it turns out, it was nearly 20 years ago. So I've just aged myself and I feel awful. So they're so much fun. Mad puts so much effort into these databases. It's an absolute joy every single year.
Newcastle could be a lot of fun, actually, looking at, forget some of these players played for Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
Shea Given, obviously. Yep. Jose Enrique, pretty good left back, mm-hmm. I think that's when he came in. Emre, I forgot Emre was at Newcastle at any stage. Obafemi mm-hmm. Martins, obviously Owen, Damien Duff, Charles Insomnia, Inzogbia, sorry, Milner, Alan Smith, Nicky Butt, 1-2-3-4 Habib Bey, Mark Viduka, and then you've got a young youth Andy Carroll. And you also have Albert Luque. Do you remember Albert Luque? I think he was like 15 million they signed him for, and he was rubbish. He was really rubbish. But this was the season that Mike Ashley took over, so, you know. The golden years, I think they used to call it.
Yeah, the good old days. I think a lot of fans refer to it as. If I'm remembering quite rightly.
Yeah,
but even Blackburn. Like, I'm looking at Blackburn's team, and I'm seeing Benny McCarthy, Roque Santa Cruz, Christopher Samba, Mort Gamst-Pedersen, and Touge. Like that's enough to make me want to manage Blackburn as well.
Yeah.
Just those five players.
I think he actively smoked on the pitch while he was playing, didn't he? Just like he'd make a good pass and just a couple of tabs and then just
exactly, again. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, everyone else is lining up to defend a free kick and he's just there, you know, just making a rollie. He loves it. Brad Friedel was at Blackburn at that point. Brett Emerton. Oh my goodness. Ryan Nelson. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's a solid defense. Solid defense.
It is. David Bentley was there. Oh my goodness. David Dunn. Just 20 flair.
Yeah.
One composer, David Dunn. See that? Oh, there's not a team you can, a Premier League team you can click on and go, oh, that player wasn't actually really, really good. That's going to be really, really fun to manage in.
Yeah.
It's quite incredible. You know, you've got, was this the season that City got bought?
This was the fake buying, wasn't it? This was Shinawatra. This is when Sven was in charge.
That's right. This was Sven's year. So again, there's like, it's a weird squad. It's a very weird squad.
Is Rubinho there yet? Or is that not till?
No, this is the season before. But you've got a young Daniel Sturridge. You've got a young Joe Hart. You've got Richard Dunn. A young Kasper Schmeichel. You've got Korluka, Martin Petrov, Ilano. Now Ilano was brilliant.
Yeah.
Giovanni.
20, at least.
Yes. Yeah. Hull City icon Giovanni is there.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's favourite midfield pairing of Stephen Ireland and Michael Johnson. You've got a young Mika Richards. You've got Needham and Noah. And then really excitingly, especially if you played last year's retro database, the 98-99 season, you've got everybody's favourite Belgian forward, Emil Mpenza, who just turned up to try and prove a point that, you know, going to Qatar very early in his career wasn't a massive mistake. And as it turned out, it kind of was. Like, so it's pre-millions Man City. Like, there's so many fun teams to manage in this database. So many fun teams.
And Si Maggio and State Baker will be happy because Portsmouth are in the Premier League. This is when
Portsmouth... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got Premier League Portsmouth, who again, like, I've been eyeing them up because it's David Nugent, it's Glenn Johnson, it's Nico Cranshire, it's Sol Campbell, it's Kanu, Pedro Mendes, Distan. Oh, this is the Jermaine Defoe season as well. Oh, it's just great. There's so much fun to be had with this Portsmouth team, with all the teams. So loads of that. There's going to be so much retro content on my stream. Also, just as a gentle reminder, anybody who's considering getting in touch and playing with us in the upcoming FMT versus the community in a couple of weeks' time, that's going to be a Mad Scientist Retro Database draft as well, which is very, very exciting. So get involved, get it downloaded, and to get lost in nostalgia for a couple of hours. Like, it's not as, you know, Jeb and I, when we did our first Path to the Playoffs together, and it was just us two, and we used the 92-93 season, and we just sat there clicking through players for 5 hours before we went, like, so much fun. Even though that isn't, it's not the same level of nostalgia, it's still so, so, so much fun. So much fun. So get it downloaded, get stuck in. It's going to be good. I'm to the point where I'll say this, and I didn't do it because it would have been silly, but I was going to try and convince Jeb and Kev to do just a couple of seasons of retro content for a network save. I was like, no, I love what we're doing too much. I love what we're doing with Wolves and United and Fulham. It's too much fun.
Kev's enjoying it that much.
I'm having a great time.
I'm just about all right, but yeah, I don't think Kev's enjoying it currently, but we'll see.
No. It'll pick back up for him. He'll be fine. I mean, you know, you're going to liquidate Wolves in the next 5 years, but that's
it's not my fault. They keep giving me the money. I'm quite happily not to spend the money, but they keep giving it me. So, you know,
what are you going to do? Not spend it? Yeah, exactly. Like some kind of jerk? No, absolutely not. On the subject of the network game, actually, I've got a new favourite thing, and it is all thanks to you, Jeb.
Okay.
It's all thanks to you. Infinite Craft.
Yes.
It's the best thing in the world. I love it. I absolutely love it.
It was something that was brought to me by, I think, someone on a Saturday stream when I was doing some quizzes and stuff like that. And it kind of just spiraled, and it spiraled a little bit more. And it, so if you've not played it before, you get 5 elements, I think. Wind, earth, water, fire, and another one. Maybe it's
Captain
four
Planet.
Elements. Yeah, Captain Planet, yeah.
Yeah,
Captain Planet. I have the power. And then you combine them together and to just to find things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be quick. Unless you're me, it just takes a very long time. Case in point, I finally found oak, as in an oak tree. There's no oak tree on there we've established. But we found an oak yesterday after Kev had set me the challenge of finding it on Monday. So, yeah, that's how long it had taken. But, yeah, it's it just comes up with very weird things. I've luckily not gone down. There are some, if you go down a certain route, you end up in quite bad trouble with certain terms and words and things like that. I've not ended up down that route. I think the closest we've had is Jabba something not very nice at the very end. It rhymes with hut.
Yes.
Yes.
Right, yes.
Yes. A promiscuous lady, you could say. Oh, man. But yes, but it just brings up those combinations that you don't expect. It makes you laugh, and I think one of the things that is that you try to do is get unique things that nobody has ever had. And I've had a few of them. I can't remember them. Off the top of my head. But I think it was more like a Brontosaurus pig or something like that. Stupid. But yeah, it's just combining all those elements again that way. So we've got to an oak tree. I think we've gone for a penguin before. And what was it? The other one was a birthday cake, wasn't it?
Which we birthday cake.
Which was birthday a clip on the YouTube. There's a clip on YouTube and TikTok. Mm-hmm. So you can watch that back. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And it's basically what I do while you guys play the Champions League, because I'm in a European competition. So, and it kind of just takes over in between games, which is probably why I'm not really focused too much on losing. Well, I'm losing quite a bit because I'm not too much focused on the actual games that we're playing. But
yeah, that happened. That does happen, though. I mean, in fact, it's one of those things that I was more invested in you trying to get a birthday cake the other night than I was what was happening in my own fixtures, because it just happens. It just happens. I think the thing that I look at, because it's so creative. It's such a simple concept, but it's done so well. And it's just some of the weird combinations of things you have to do to get to the logical things. Like, we were looking for penguin.
Yeah.
And in the end, to get a penguin, we had to make an iceberg repent.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that, exactly. But because why wouldn't it? It makes nothing but sense. But it's one of those things that's happening in the background that is too much fun to ignore. Like, we've been the last couple of streams on my channel, we've been playing Footballer 20 Questions, which again doesn't sound like it's too exciting of a concept, but watching kind of basically, I think of a footballer and then chat have a total of 20 yes or no questions to try and figure out who they are. Watching people implode trying to work this out, it's completely distracted me from the things that have been happening. Like, I was the last game of my stream last night at the time of recording, I played Zwolle in the league and I won 6-4. And I think four of those goals I missed because there was just a massive debate going on over certain nationalities, or basically I think some people in my chat don't think that that Great Britain is part of Europe, because they're like, well, no, it's not in the European Union. But yes, but it's on the continent of Europe. Yeah. It's like, we have, you know, England haven't been kicked out of the European Championships because of Brexit. So those are two very, very different things. And watching that debate raging for about 10 minutes, I'm like, this is really funny. Oh, no, it's 4-3. Well, what's going on here? And it's really, really good fun just having those little things going in the background. But I love Infinite Craft. That's one of the, I think that's safe to say I'm looking forward to aspects of that more than I am the results I'm going to get on the pitch this, you know, over the next few weeks. So that's one of my favorite things. If you've not done it, we'll put a link to it. We'll put a link to the game in the description of podcast. So
yeah,
if you're watching,
it's a complete web-based, it's free to play.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, entirely web-based. Yeah.
I think you can do it quite easily on your phone as well. So it's, mm-hmm. you just get lost. And then I think particularly for me and you, Rich, tiny bit of ADHD between us all, you just get distracted, just, don't we? Yeah.
Just a smidgen.
Yeah. Well, why just are you anywhere smidge. Near an oak tree? Why are you playing with, like, what was the player? With Egypt. Why are you in Egypt?
I've built the pyramids.
Yeah, exactly.
What, I don't know. Yeah,
I want an oak tree. Oh, okay.
But I've got you this. I've got you this monument to
slave. I've just combined a party with a pyramid and I've got a sphinx, so you know.
Which is exactly how it happened back then.
Yeah,
exactly how it happened back then. Yeah, yeah. And nobody can dispute that because nobody can ever know. So there you go. But yeah, get on it. Invest a bit of time. Just random word generator. Just ask your phone to give you a random word. It has to be like an object or a place, or it's got to be something.
I think a place or an object, so an animal or something like that. Aim for that.
All right. Yeah.
Just have the fun with it. Just don't make it too simple, because some of them just come up straight away, like a plant or a tree or something.
Yeah.
Go for an animal, place, or an object, but something that's common. And
Brilliant fun. Just not oak trees, as it turns out. Oak trees.
Yeah.
Don't exist. There you go. Wonderful.
Somebody's
going to
be
get
in the
on
comments
that.
Going, I got an oak tree. I was like, well,
I got an oak tree in three moves.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Well, when you put birthday and candles together and you don't, when you put cake and candles together and you don't get birthday cake, there you go, in your face. Easy, is it? Easy. No, not at all. It's not at all. Infinite Craft, very, 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 very good. Now, other bits and pieces. Oh, other bits and pieces. There's some real life football stuff that's been happening over the last, 48 hours. That I think there has. Balls have been kicked, games have been played, spirits crushed, and which leads on to potentially our new favourite role. Hopefully, if you're listening, Sports Interactive, we'd like a new role, including in FM25, please and thank you. Because over the last 48 hours, there has been what can only be described as late drama in a few games from around Europe. Jeb, your Liverpool team, Darwin Núñez.
Yep, he came to us from Benfica to the big
one. Yeah, somebody should write a song about that.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, now I've said it, that's going to be going in the back of my head for the rest of the day. So thank you, me. That's really, really kind of me. Yep.
It's definitely in my head already. Yeah, so Liverpool scored a last-minute winner. There was a bit of controversy with a drop ball, but it was a rash problem. It wasn't Liverpool's problem. We just carried on. Also, if you're in the 98th minute, this is a hot tip for defending. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for them to sing Forest fans to come for me here. You're defending on Football Manager. This is nice and simple. And you put defenders defending in the 98th minute or near the 99th, on the 8th minute of added on time. Don't dribble it out of the box. Maybe just hoof it really, really hard. Like, just boot it. Like, if you did that, McAllister won't put a worldie of a cross into Núñez, and Núñez won't head in, Liverpool will win. You know, it's quite simple. I think yeah, it's been a very exciting week for Liverpool, obviously. The Carabao Cup, which I saw very little of, unfortunately, because I was doing the pool stuff. I was actually commentating during the final going on, not on the final pool stuff. And then I actually went to Anfield and I got a ticket for a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. I had a burner phone with a ticket on. It was a bit weird. But when I turned up, I looked at my ticket. I was like, oh, that's nice. I was on the fifth row of the Kop. Which was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Fifth row, right in the middle, behind the goal. Fantastic. And I saw two of the three goals going to the net from Dans, who was phenomenal. He could be the next wonder kid coming through us. I did see a stat that he's played 34 minutes of first team football ever, and he's won more trophies than Harry Kane. It's still going to be true at the end of the season by the sounds of things, because Harry Kane is not winning the Bundesliga. But yeah, so that was really exciting. Like the fifth row of the cup. I think the only negative I would have to say is I had to stand up for the entire 90 minutes, because you don't sit down when you're that close on the cup.
So yeah,
my legs didn't enjoy it because I'm old. But yeah, it was an amazing night. And then obviously the big win yesterday, which I was a bit nervous about. Probably would have been even nicer if carried on streaming. You could see my celebration there. But yes, I was champion. Mm-hmm. It's very... But so last minute drama. I think that's what we're talking about. Last minute drama, just in general. There's obviously the stuff that happened over in La Liga with the disallowed goal and
Jude
Bellingham being sent off as well for his protests on it. And it brought us around to just thinking about last minute drama in FM. I can remember one really key one in the FMT network save. A certain goalkeeper from Leicester.
Who?
Scoring a worldie of a volley against you to put you out.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he? That's weird, because I'd completely forgotten that ever happened. That's ever so strange. Are you misremembering that? Are you sure? Yeah,
maybe a little bit. But I think that is when FM is at its greatest. That like when you make... If you don't make any changes, it happens. Brilliant. But it's when you make those changes and you score that last-minute winner, or you score that added-on-time winner. I mean, take us back to last year in the FM playoffs, that Lima versus Carr game, where they all made changes. And it was basically a replication of the Leicester-Watford game where Troy Deeney scored.
Yes.
Was it Troy Deeney missed a penalty and then... I can't remember.
Knockout. Knockout scored for... Yeah, Knockout missed the penalty for Leicester, and then Deeney scored for Watford like 30 seconds later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was exactly like that. There's clips around FM players. We'll probably put a clip to it as well. Mm-hmm. It was just phenomenal. Dr. Benji actually commentating on it as well, just to add to the extra drama. But it was just... Mm-hmm. Carr had sent everybody up front. Corner came out, and Limo broke, and... It looked like he was just one defender against one, and then I think it was two strikers against three, and he just put it in, and that was the end of the thing. And they both fell off the chairs, both jumping around. It was fantastic. I mean, I've had it a couple of times in the network save as well. I don't think I've had it too much with Morecambe, but there's a couple of changes. I think the famous this is the end of the match highlight, isn't it? It's just the end of the match where they're just going to kick it into touch. This is the end of the match. This is the end of... Oh, no, it's not. They've scored. And then when it's going your way, it's even better. So.
Yeah. There's never a good time, especially if you are leading by a goal.
Yeah.
There's never a good time for a 93rd minute highlight. There's never a good time for one, because you know, it's like, no, the game isn't wired that way. Just a bit like, oh yeah, we're just gonna pop the highlight on now. It's just gonna be one of your centre backs just hoofing it. No, there's always going to be something. But that's the beauty of Football Manager. That's the beauty of real life football. I mean, you've mentioned obviously the Real Madrid goal from last night. I was streaming while the game was going on, and it was being described to me by some people in the chat. And I was like, hard to visualize it without, you know, because it's different descriptions. Having watched that clip back this morning, I would be furious if I was Real Madrid, because that they are still they're still in possession of the ball. They are still on the attack. And if that happened to you in Football Manager, if you were chasing a game and you were looking for a last minute winner, and a cross was defended, but it fell to one of your wide players by the touchline, and then they beat their man, and then the ref blew the whistle as they were about to cross the ball, I'd be quite upset, personally. Yeah. I'd be quite upset. But again, the FM would let that highlight run. Like, no, go on, just let it happen. It'll be funny, especially if it's happening against you. That's what makes it. That's what makes it objectively funny. But it's gotta let it go. And we had people over two different variations of rules. I was like, no, it's more of a guideline to referees. It's not a strict rule. It's more of a guideline. It's more of a suggestion. So you could blow the whistle if you really wanted to, but you could also just let it go and just see what happens. And I'm definitely more of a just let it go and see what happens kind of guy. You know, I think it's funnier that way. Unless, again, it directly impacts me, then I'm furious about it. And I think it's a terrible decision. And I think everybody behind it should be banned. So, but it's just what makes it fun, though, isn't it? It's a good time had by everybody. Also, I think, again, just important to point out that, again, objectively funny that Harry Kane isn't going to win the Bundesliga this year. So let's all laugh at that. Let's all laugh at that together. We all know they're going to come back and win it by 20 points next season, just to prove a point. But, you know, I really hope this is the start of kind of like a weird Harry Kane transfer saga where he just moves around the world to the most dominant clubs in specific leagues. Like next season, he's going to get loaned out to PSG, isn't he? And then Bordeaux are going to win the Ligue 1. It's just going to be great. Can't wait for it. Cannot wait for it. It's going to be so, so much fun. He's gone to, what's that? He's gone to Napoli and, what's this? Genoa have won Serie A. What are the chances? More of that. I think that's great. Cursed footballers make me very, very happy.
Yes, definitely.
Good. It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
So off the back of that, there was controversy with the drop ball. Mm-hmm. And then Mark Clatterburg popped up on my newsfeed saying, this shouldn't have been given. Da, da, da. He was like, and the referee wanted to speak to me afterwards. I'm like, hang on, what? I thought Mark Clattenburg was just chatting because, you know, he's on Gladiators, he's in the public eye.
Yeah.
He's just one of them. No. Mark Clattenburg is not around just because he's on Gladiators. He's got a new job. He's the referee. He's a referee consultant for Nottingham Forest. What? What is this?
How long has that job existed for?
No, exactly. It's like set piece coaches were a revelation, but what? A referee consultant?
Yeah. Referee, that's that. And this is what we're saying. This has got to be the new role for FM25. Come on, Sports Interactive. Give us referee consultants.
Yeah.
Like that's what we all want. That's what we want.
I'm trying to figure like what can they actually do? Like, because it's like, well, we didn't agree with that decision. Nice one, Mark. Cool.
Cheers, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. What's he got to impact with that? It's just like, yep, yeah, we got your letter. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks. It was very well written. Well written, it that. But what is he going to achieve? Like, I don't understand the role. I'm trying to think of like other pointless roles, like sock coordinator. I don't know. I make sure that each of the players are wearing the left sock on their left foot and the right sock on their right foot.
Yeah. Now
that's my job. Yeah.
Yep. I have to put permanent marker L's and R's on the soles of the socks for the players. But then you know they do the thing. They look at their hands to see which one's the left and which one's the right, and they have to work off that basis. But some of them, they've hold their hands the wrong way around. Oh, it's an absolute mess.
Yeah,
Jesse Lingard's a nightmare for it because it's just they're just constantly back to front, aren't they? So he's always got the wrong socks on, and that's why his career's gone the way it has. I think it's perfect. That's a thinker, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Good though. It's quite good, especially by my standards, especially for a Sunday morning. I think it'd be great. I want the opportunity to have Pierluigi Collina as my referee correspondent.
Yeah. Imagine that. You want someone. I might even bring back Keith Hackett. I'm now going to quickly just double check it out to bring Keith Hackett back from the grave or something like that.
But yeah.
I think, yeah.
You're going to resurrect him.
Yeah. No. Bring back Keith Hackett. Yeah. He's 79 now. So let's bring him back. Just so like angry old man shouts at cloud. Mm-hmm. Because that's exactly what we've been doing. So
that is exactly what it is. It has no real life impact into the game. It's just some way of Mark Clattenburg getting $5,000 a week from Nottingham Forest. That's all it really is.
I did.
That's his.
I did enjoy that he's quite passionate anyway, and he's done a couple of things already this season. But the owner apparently chased the referee down the tunnel as well. The Greek owner. Didn't he storm out of Fulham after they got beat 5-0 and threw his accreditation in somebody's bush? Likely that they won't come with a he obviously didn't have a great day, but yeah.
No, terrible day.
More owner antics in FM. I think that's the other thing we demand for FM25. Owners just do random things.
Mm-hmm. Owners, use the Sheffield Wednesday ownership as the benchmark for that, please. Just owners just doing really, really stupid things sporadically throughout the season. Yeah. That would be fantastic.
Like Mike actually illegally drinking a pint in the stands. You know, I was drinking the full view of the football pitch, but he did it because he can.
Exactly. That kind of thing. Just again, it has no impact on your actual experience with the game. It's just fun. It's just nice little emails that pop up, isn't it? It's my nice little emails, you know. Again, like accreditation found in bush, outside Swindon. Yes,
stories. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm into. Yes, bring in that. Yeah, referee correspondence for FM25, please. Completely functionless. Unless this is how it works. I'll take my check in the post. Thank you very much, everybody at Sports Interactive. So, you know, when a player gets sent off in one of your matches, and then you can either appeal against the bans or you can not appeal against the bans.
You just delegate it.
You delegate that to your referee correspondent because they'll know. Because have you ever tried to appeal a ban and the appeal has worked?
No.
I've not. No. No, never happens. But it's because again, you get the referee correspondent in there. You get Clattenburg involved. And he'll write that sternly worded letter, and he'll do it himself. He'll do it handwritten as well. He won't use a chat GPT. He won't do that. He'll do it himself.
No, definitely.
Dear football, hi, it's me, Mark. I don't think he deserved a red card.
Wait.
Thank you very much.
Worded that wrong. Hi, it's me, Mark. You know, from Gladiators.
It's me, Mark, Gladiator Reddy Clattenburg.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that was a penalty. I have Sabre's phone number. Thanks. Love you, Mark.
He's got that tattoo of like UEFA Euro.
He's got the Euro. He's got the. Yeah. He's that. Oh, it's so distracting. Hold up the other arm, Mark. Yeah, please.
The other arm's got a Gladiator logo and Nottingham Forest referee consultant on it. It's just jobs at his work that he gets tattooed on himself.
Yeah, he's not even a real referee. He's just living at Memento. He just can't remember. He has to check every morning. He starts from the right arm and he moves all the way around to the left. He knows which one's which because his wife writes an L and R on the bottom of his socks for him every day. That's how he tells.
That's a full circle.
That's gone full circle. Yeah, that's what's known in the industry as a callback. It's a callback to a joke we previously made. His wife is also Jesse Lingard. So again, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. So there we go. This is what happens when the adults aren't here.
Yes.
This is what happens. Tangents.
Should we end?
I think we should probably try and get this back on the rails, shouldn't we? Yeah, should we do that? I reckon that, in fairness, that is probably a podcast. I don't know how you feel about it. But
definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Feels like one, doesn't it? Feels like one. Lovely.
Feel free to tell us what you think Mark Clattenburg should have tattooed on him in reference to jobs that he's done. So thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Mark Clattenburg's tattoos. Pick his next one. That'd be grand. Let us know. Or just mock it up. You know, you've all got access to these things. Mark Clattenburg's tattoos, please and thank you. Jeb, if the people would like to watch you streaming or playing Infinite Craft or just giving Mark Clattenburg tattoos, where can they find you doing so this week?
Twitch.tv/Jebaroo. Can I also just say, and we did not actually said it, but thank you for 80,000 listens on the podcast.
Oh my God, yes.
For everyone, on behalf of everyone. Making the Hollyoaks video. It started off as a joke between me and Matt, and I took it too far. It's a standard process for myself, but yes, it was quite enjoyable. I particularly like Rich's appearance right at the very end, just the way it merges into whoever the final character is on there. But there's lots of other faces to go on there, so I might be opening up as a Channel Point Redemption where you can be in that Hollyoaks video.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Mm-hmm. Don't even have to get a job hosting the podcast. So you just get to be in it.
Yeah.
It's all the results for none of the hard work. It was wonderful. That video, I watched it at work and I was laughing far too hard. far too hard. It was perfect. And yes, 80,000 downloads of this podcast is quite ridiculous, if I'm honest with you. So thank you, everybody. Genuinely, I love making it. I love spending time with my friends every week. And it's just an added bonus that people seem to enjoy what we're doing. So thank you. And onwards and upwards. Ideally upwards. Upwards is the direction we're aiming to go in. So 80,000. Very, very cool. Again, a reminder, Jeb and Kev announced once we hit our 500th follow on and subscription on YouTube, we will be doing a Fortnite?
I think it's any other game apart from FM.
Any other game apart from FM.
Team of four, yeah.
A four-player online game together.
Work quite well, particularly probably for me and Kev, and maybe yourself, because we won't know what we're doing. I've heard you played it before, that's subjective. And Callum's probably played it loads because he's down with the kids. I've heard.
He's exactly. He's young. He's the youth appeal. That's what he's into. Is fork knives. So yeah, 500 on YouTube, and then four-player game that we will all play together. There are loads of good ones, so something to be excited about. And yeah, thanks for supporting us. We really appreciate you. You're all really, really nice. Well done. And if you'd like to, just reap the benefits of that support, let us know if you're free on the 17th of March and want to play Football Manager Therapy versus the community draft mode with us. There are a few places that are still available, so just drop us a message, drop us a DM, get in touch with us on Discord, whatever you want to do, just let us know if you're keen, and you can just come play with us. All you need is a working microphone so you can have a group chat, hop in a call with us, stream it, and ideally Football Manager, yeah, or you can just do like a post-in one. We do it that way. We do it old school.
You have to tape the pound coins to it, though. So
yeah, sellotape a pound coin onto a piece of paper and then send it to my house. And then you can have first pick in the draft. And then we'll be done by FM26. It'd be great fun. Do that, please. Do all of those things,
hundreds.
Especially the sending me money. That'd be hugely appreciated. My goodness, raising children is expensive. Who knew? There we go. Also, please watch our friends, the United City FM and Y Callum. So it's twitch.tv/theUnitedCityFM and twitch.tv/YCallum. Congratulations to Kev on retaining your World Heavyweight Championship this week. Kev freaking Rollins does it again. The man can't be stopped. He refuses to be stopped. And nor should he be. And also, Callum won a bloody playoff final this week as well, which is quite incredible. Well done, Callum. Yeah, he's out promoting you, Jeb. Yeah. So come on now. Come on, hurry up. So well done to both of them on their wonderful achievements this week. I will be streaming at twitch.tv/RichOwensFM, and there'll be retro content and there will be some FMT network saves. We're provisionally looking at Thursday this week. So if you're listening to this on Patreon or publicly, you've got notice. So Thursday night, we'll all be hanging out. We'll be carrying on the FMT network save. There will be Infinite Craft. There will be upsets. There will be just generally nice time that we have together. So come and hang out for that, please, and thank you. But I think that wraps up, from my point of view, another lovely episode of Football Manager Therapy. Thank you very much for joining us, and we will see you on the next one. Take care. Love you lots. Bye-bye.